Father, we just come to you this night, and Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Father, I thank you that we have a country, Lord God, that we can come into a house of worship, Lord God, and we can worship you freely, Lord God. Father, I thank you that you are God, Lord God, that we can turn our cares over to you, Lord God, and you'll take them from us, Lord God. That we don't have to care them, Lord God, you'll care them for us, Lord God. Father, I thank you that you are the type of God that when we have a need, Lord God, you're here to meet our need, Lord God. And you don't punish us, Lord God, because we have needs, Lord God, but you love us, Lord God. And you meet every need that we have, Lord God. Father, tonight, Lord God, I lift up Carolyn Pig to you, Lord God, and I thank you, Lord God, that your hand has already been upon her, Lord God. There's already been good reports coming, Lord God, and what the devil tried to do to her to set her back is not going to set her back, but she's going to go forward, Lord God, and she's going to be that mighty woman of God that you've always been. She's going to have victory, Lord God, and she's going to have a testimony, Lord God, and she's going to praise you, Lord God. And we lift her up to you, Lord God, and I speak a speedy recovery into her life, Lord God. I speak total healing into that hip, Lord God. I thank you for the doctor, Lord God. I thank you for what the doctor done. But, Lord God, I thank you tonight, Lord God. You're going to put your hand upon her, Lord God, and you're going to heal that hip. You're going to mend it back together, Lord God. It's going to be stronger than it ever was before. She won't have to endure pain the rest of her life. She won't have to deal with arthritis because you're going to heal that hip, Lord God, and it's going to be totally healed. And, Father, I thank you tonight, Lord God. This is an opportunity, Lord God, that we've come. And tonight, Lord God, we're going to enter into your presence, Lord God. We're going to hear from you tonight, Lord God, and you're going to create in us, Lord God, a fire, Lord God, that's going to burn deep in our souls, Lord God. Father, you witnessed to me this week, Lord God, that there's a revival about to come. But it's not a revival of church service, Lord God, but it's a revival of the heart, Lord God. That you're going to revive hearts, Lord God. You're going to set hearts on fire. You're going to cause hearts to get hungry, Lord God. Father God, you're about to do some separating in the house of God, Lord God. But the ones that want to come forth, Lord God, they're going to come forth, and they're going to come forth with fire, Lord God. With new fire, Lord God, a new desire, a new hunger, Lord God. And Father, I believe that we're going to see great and mighty things through you, Lord God, because these are the last days. And your word tells us in the last days you're going to pour your spirit out upon us, Lord God. You're going to do miracles and signs and wonders, Lord God. And Father, we tell you tonight, Lord God, this is the place. This is the place for all that to happen, Lord God, because we have the faith for it, Lord God. We have the desire for it, Lord God. We want to see it, Lord God. So, Lord God, let it be here, Lord God. Let it be in our hearts, Lord God. Let it be in this congregation, Lord God. And Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I told y'all I wouldn't follow this because we done announcements. But any others y'all know of? Somebody remind me tonight before we get through, especially maybe we do it when we lay hands on the prayer request. But let's lift up Brother Jimmy and Miss Ann. Greatly lift them up. You know, as a pastor, you know, I pastored a church for about 2 years, and I know Danny's done some pastoring. Some others in here's probably done some stuff like that. But when you pastor a church, it drains you. It really does. Because you're responsible not only for your life and your family, but everybody that's in that congregation. That's your sheep. And you have to tend to them. So I really want to pray for Brother Jim and Miss Ann, you know, tonight before we leave, that they'll just get such a refreshing. And I'm not so much, I hope I can make this come forward, I'm not so much a spiritual refreshing, but a refreshing within themselves, in their own life, in their own joy. Not a refreshing to bring it back to us, but a refreshing for their self. You know, they would never pray for that, but we can. That's our pastor. And we need him refreshed. We need him to have that time of peace. And during this vacation, you know, they've had some stuff come against them that's trying to break up this vacation. But I'm believing these last days, if they're there, they're going to be supernatural blessed. The prayer sheets are going around. Has anybody got any praise reports? I do. At work, y'all know I sit around here, I laugh all the time talking about my job. You know, it's so easy. All I do all day long is watch Gunsmoke. Well, that kind of came to an end about 2 weeks ago. I sort of got a new boss. Not a new boss, but he got a new position. And he began to make my job difficult. I'm talking about difficult. And it really bothered me. But Diane Jackson prayed one time for me to get an employee that would be a blessing. Well, I hired a man that is 71 years old. And what a blessing he's been. Because when this boss comes against me and tells me stuff, just causing friction, he would tell me, let it go. Just let it go. I ain't want to let it go. I want to go fight. But he was like, let it go. And, you know, that was words of encouragement, because I've never had nobody that worked with me that would tell me stuff like that. Let it go. And I began to let stuff go, and I had to go talk to a boss above him one day, and I just told this boss, I said, look, I can't work for that man. I was to the point, I talked to Keith Robinson. Y'all got anything open in Chickasaw County? Because gun smoke done ran out up there, and I got to find something else. Well, lo and behold, the next week, the boss above him called me in, and I was like, oh, this can't be good. I don't never get called in on the carpet. This cannot be good. Well, it was good. I got a raise. The biggest raise, one-time raise, it was out of season, because our raises don't come through this time of year. Did I ever got it one time in my life? You know, when I think about what Brother Jimmy always talks about, you know, they can mess with you, but they can't mess with the favor. That's the God we serve. You got to stay faithful. And I'm thankful to that man that I hired out of nowhere. There's an encourager. Anybody else got anything? Any praise reports? Nobody? Cindy? It's good. Anybody else? All right, Karen, you up?
Their heads were low. Their steps were slow. As they walked along that long Emmaus road, then a man appeared, and as he drew near, he said, why are you so sad? Are things really that bad? They said, sir, have you not heard? You must be a stranger in this town, 'cause the one who came in the Father's name, he has been cut down. They've laid his body in the ground. As they walked and talked, he began to explain about this Jesus, why he came. He opened the scriptures and began to teach. The preacher of preachers, he began to preach. In the wilderness, the children had nothing there to eat, but manna from heaven fell down at their feet. When they were dry, in a foreign land, living water came forth out of a rock in the sand. When the three Hebrew children were thrown in the flames, a fourth man appeared. They even called him by name. The manna, the water, the man, they're all the same. If you're still confused, let me say this real plain.
If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to talk a little bit about Peter tonight. You know, I guess everybody's got their favorite persons in the Bible. He's one of mine. I can relate to Peter because Peter kept getting himself in trouble. So I can relate to Peter. You know, I know what it's like to say stuff or do stuff, and as soon as you say it, as soon as you do it, you'd be like, what did I say that for? Why did I send that text? You know, so I can understand Peter, and Peter was always like that. But we're going to look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 20. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway they left their nets, and they followed him. Father, I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would open my mouth. Father God, that your Holy Spirit would fill me right now and flood out the very flesh of me, Lord God. And that your Spirit would use this vessel, Lord God, my voice, Lord God, my mind, to bring forth this message, Lord God, that you put on my heart so many weeks ago. Father, let it come forth in a way, Lord God, it makes sense to everyone. I pray that everyone in this room, Lord God, tonight will be good soil and they will receive something, Lord God. One word or the whole message, whatever it is, Lord God, they need tonight. And no one will walk away saying they were untouched, Lord God. But everyone will be touched, Lord God, whether it's words of encouragement, Lord God, whether it's conviction, Lord God, whatever it may be, Lord God, let us all receive from you tonight. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to think about Peter's life. You know, like I said, you know, today I kind of got to reminiscing just thinking about, you know, because I keep studying. Larry Tackett gave us some couches up there, and I'm going to tell you something. I carried them to the work center. I gave one to my guys. I put one in another office, and buddy, that other office is mine. I just went in there and I stretched out and I started studying, just listening and thinking about Peter. And I want you to think about Peter. On this day, Jesus comes walking by and here's Peter. He's out there and he's fishing, but Jesus walks by and he calls him. He said, if you'll follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And what did Peter do? He throwed down the net. He followed him. He accepted that call. He accepted that challenge. And I will about bet you that in this room tonight, everybody in this room tonight probably, I feel like, has accepted that challenge. That somewhere along the way, God has called you. He may not have called you into a ministry. He may not have called you into a pulpit, but he called you. And I'm going to tell you something. That is a great call. Because if he don't call you, you can't be saved. Point blank. He's the only way. So I feel like he's called you and he's called everybody in this room. And I begin to think about Peter and I begin to think about him afterwards. And see, when we look at this, we read this and we already know a lot of the story because we've read it all our lives. But I want you to begin to think about Peter. So God's called him and Peter begins to walk. I wonder what Peter thought the first time that Jesus seen a leopard coming. Because I want you to think about it. Back in that day, a leopard was unclean. When a leper come to the crowd, he would be hollering, unclean, unclean. And you couldn't touch that leopard. You would walk around that leopard because you couldn't get nowhere because that disease was so deadly. I wonder what Peter thought the first time Jesus come walking along. There's this man hollering, unclean. And Jesus just starts walking toward him and lays his hands on him. I know what I did the first time I seen a preacher lay hands on somebody. What is he doing? Are you kidding me? So why would Peter be any different? I read the story this week as I was studying. I was thinking about Peter and all that he saw. There was a story in the Bible that talks about just a chapter or two over where Jesus went with Peter to Peter's house. And Peter's mother-in-law was in the house and she was sick. Jesus didn't run from it. He just walked up to the mother-in-law and laid hands on the mother-in-law. And that brought back a reminiscence for me because the first time I met Brother Jimmy Bryan, he was selling insurance. And he come in our house to sell us some insurance. And Jonathan was just a baby. He was probably less than 2 years old. And he was laying on the couch and he was sick. And Brother Jimmy come in and started talking about this insurance. Now you got to understand, back in that day, I was a heathen. I went to the Baptist church. I was up there with Larry and them, but I had Larry and them all fooled because I went, and Jan was there. I went there for about 2 years, a heathen. I wasn't saved. This man come into my house, going to sell some insurance, and he kept looking at Jonathan, and he really wasn't paying attention to what he was supposed to be doing. I'm like, how's this man going to sell some insurance? He ain't even... And finally, he just goes and says, is that baby sick? And Tracy said, yes. And he said, let's pray for him. And he went over and laid his hands on that kid. And before he left, the fever broke. And now I'm looking at Brother Jimmy. What is this? You got to understand, Peter was the same way in the beginning. He was just like us. You know, he had never seen this stuff before, but he was following Jesus. He accepted that call, and he began to follow Jesus. I wonder what Peter thought the first time that some demonic person walked up to Jesus or got around Jesus and began to act a fool. And Jesus put his hand on him, or maybe Jesus just spoke and Jesus said, come out of him. I know what I did the first time somebody told me something like that. Again, we was at Family Baptist Church. Again, I'm a heathen. But the pastor we had, he come up to me one Sunday morning, he said, during the service, we had a little boy that was coming. He wasn't a little boy. He's had a little age on him. But they always sit up front. And our pastor told me, he said, it's been revealed to me during the service. It was Easter Sunday service. He said, during the service, this boy is going to attack his mama. So I want you to go up there and I want you to sit beside that boy. Well, I'm just as dumb as dirt. I'm green. I don't know nothing. So I went up there and I sat down beside him. You know, I thought, you know, okay, when he attacks, I'm just going to body slam him. I don't know what the preacher got me up here for. But I noticed every time he would say something about the cross, that boy would get fidgety. And that boy would begin to murmur stuff. Well, look here, I'm green as dirt. I don't know nothing. I'm thinking he's going to attack his mama, so I really don't know nothing. So I'm just reaching over and I'm grabbing him by the leg. I'm going to get the first shot. If he's going to jump, I'm going to have a hold that britches leg. You know, I don't know. Well, after the service, the pastor come to me and he said, well, I thought, you know, thought he was really going to do something. He said, but brother, let me tell you something. Don't be putting your hand on a demonic person if you ain't got something in you. I'm green. I don't know. What are you talking about? Don't put your hands on somebody. And he carried me the scripture and showed me where a guy said, I cast you out in, like Paul did in the name of Jesus, like that Paul preaches. And what did those demons do? They whooped the hide off of them, sent them home naked. He didn't tell me all that. Again, I'm dumb as dirt. So, you know, Peter, he's seeing all this stuff, and but he's still following. He's hanging in there. And Peter goes on, and they in the ship, and the storms is coming. They wake Jesus up, you know, and say, don't you care, Master? Don't you care that we're about to be destroyed? Don't you care? And Jesus stands up and rebukes the wind. Can you imagine, Peter? People nowadays think we're crazy when a tornado comes and Dana puts something on Facebook about I rebuke the winds. They think you're crazy. I imagine on that day, Peter was like, oh, what's going on here? Not understanding, never seen it before, but he's still following. I know another story when disciples are in the boat, and Jesus, you know, he stayed behind to pray and stuff, and here comes Jesus walking on the water, and all the disciples got scared because, you know, they thought it was a ghost. But then Peter realized, hey, I think that's Jesus. And he still ain't sure. Larry, he looks at him and said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. He said, if. He still ain't sure. And what did Jesus say? Come. And what did he do? See, y'all done jumped ahead of me. Y'all already thinking, he sunk. Well, let me tell you something about my buddy Peter. At least he got out of the boat. Where was them other disciples? Chickens stayed in the boat. So don't condemn Peter for sinking. He did get out of the boat. He did try. Yeah, he kept getting himself in trouble. But at least he tried. So you see all this stuff and you think about Lazarus. Boy, that had to be a good one, Lynn. Think about it. Jesus done walked up to this tomb. And they done told him, this dude stinks. Jesus said, roll a stone away. Now, I can't prove this, but I just got a funny feeling when old Lazarus come forward and he said, unwrap him. I just got a funny feeling old Peter jumped in there because that's the way he was. He wanted in the middle of everything. And Lazarus alive. Don't you know Peter probably was backing up a little bit like, whoa, I really didn't think he could do that. But he did. Now let's jump ahead and let's go to John chapter 21. Going to be looking at verse 3. While you're getting there, let me kind of catch you up because I want you to understand what I'm saying. Peter has seen all this stuff, and for 3 years, Peter has walked with him. But I also want you to remember during those 3 years, especially at the end of those 3 years when Jesus was about to be crucified, Peter denied him 3 times. And again, before you come hard against Peter, remember, Peter did follow him, but he denied him. Where was the rest of them? I want you to realize that right before we read here, Jesus had already been crucified. He'd already been laid in the tomb. But Jesus had already revealed himself to Peter twice. This is about to be the third time. Remember the first time? They were hiding because they was afraid. They were afraid. You see, nowadays we live in a world where you can't be afraid. But I'm going to tell you something. I serve a God that don't care if you're afraid because he'll come to you. He'll visit you in the middle of your fear. He understands what you're going through. He understands. You don't think Jesus wasn't, I don't want to use the word afraid, but that's the only word I know how to use, before he went to Calvary, you don't think it made him nervous? If you don't think he had a problem with it, why was he in the garden praying? He knew the road he was going down was fixing to be hard, but he knew where his source was. He knew that he went and prayed one time, he come back and they was all asleep, he kept going back because why? He had a problem. He was struggling. So I'm here to tell you tonight, you may struggle through some stuff, but God says it's okay. I'm not going to turn against you. I'm here to help you. Well, at this time, Jesus revealed himself, and Peter does some crazy stuff. Look with me in John 21. I'm going to read a few verses here, all the way down to verse 12, but starting in verse 3. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they said unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therefore, and now that they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in the bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring the fish which you have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of great fish, 153. And for there were so many, yet not the net broke. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. I got to ask this question. How many of y'all was here Sunday night? And y'all heard Dana let the cat out of the bag. So I got to ask this question. How many of y'all came back tonight to find out why Peter was naked? Okay. I just had to ask it. Hold on, I'll get there. But I want you to think about this. Let's recap so we get on the same page. Peter's followed all these years. For 3 years, he's followed. He's seen amazing things. Amazing things. The things that you and I hunger to see. The dead raised. The people healed. We want to see that. Peter's seen all this. But on this day, after he has seen Jesus be raised from the dead, he's talked to him twice. But on this day, what did Peter do? I go a fishing. What did Peter really say? I quit. I'm done. Peter wasn't called to fish anymore. Remember the call. Remember what he accepted the call. Jesus said, I'll make you a fisherman of men. What is he doing in the boat throwing the net out? Because he quit. I don't know what made Peter quit. I can speculate. Maybe Peter didn't fully commit to the call. Maybe he wasn't 100% sold out for Jesus. Maybe Peter didn't realize that when Jesus called him to follow him, that he was thinking he would follow Jesus for the rest of his life. Maybe Peter was like some other disciples thought that when Jesus come, he's going to set up this earthly kingdom. Now this man that he worshiped, this man that he believed in, this man that he said was the Messiah, keeps leaving him. Peter said, I quit. Look around the church tonight. Who's missing? You know what they said? Pastor ain't there. I quit. I'm sorry. Y'all know I can be rough. I just say it the way I believe it. That's the reason, Lee and I go to a lot of churches one time. I don't get to go back. They can't handle it. But the truth of the matter is, because I ask this question all the time. On Sunday mornings, we pack the house out and we have a hold down with God. People fall out in the Spirit. People get healed. People get excited. People feel the very presence of God. But on Sunday night, where are they at? On Wednesday night, where are they at? Is it not the same God? Did God go on vacation? Did God go to sleep? Well, where is he at? He's still here. The question is, where's the people? They quit. I'm not saying they're lost. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying they're not going to make it to heaven. Peter still loved God. He still believed he was the Messiah. But he quit the call. He gave up the ministry. He said, I quit. Because it didn't go, perhaps, the way he thought it would. I'm going to share some personal stuff. Now, I've been telling Dina all week to pray because I don't want to get emotional. But I need some people to understand something. Because we're supposed to be helping people. These last 4 years of my life have been the hardest years of my life. Most people would say when a parent dies, that's a hard time. It's hard. But when my dad died, it was hard, but it wasn't like these 4 years. Because I know where my dad went. I know. I have faith in that. But these 4 years of my life, they've been hard. I faced stuff that, church, I'm going to tell you something. All my life, from the time I got married when I was 18 years old, for 30-something years of a marriage, the word divorce was not in my vocabulary. It was not there. Oh, we joked and we made fun. We will never get a divorce. We might kill one another because it says unto death do you part. I might kill her, but we ain't getting no divorce. And we lived all those years. It was the best time of my life. 31 years of 33 years was the best time, Lynn Morgan. The best. And I never seen that coming. Never. I don't believe Peter seen what was coming to him neither. I believed it rocked his world. You heard this old saying, I ain't no baseball player, Larry, but the curveball came. And he swung and he struck out. The fastball came. Maybe the ministry was moving too fast for Peter. Maybe he couldn't grasp it. It was too much for him. And he couldn't hit the ball, so he quit. And church, I'm going to tell you something. I understand what I'm saying. I didn't quit God, but I quit everything else. Oh, I still come and I sit right there. I put on a good show. But I walked out bound by depression. I quit believing in what Brother Jimmy was praying. That stuff must be for somebody else because it ain't working in my life. I quit. That's why I can relate to Peter. I understand what he was going through. That things just didn't live, just didn't. He wasn't expecting that. He wasn't expecting what came to pass. So he quit. He gave up. I was not expecting what was happening in my life. So I quit. Just throwed up my hands. And I lived in misery. I lived in pain. I can remember one time coming to church. I was hurting so bad that when I walked out them doors, I sent a text to a man that I thought would help. And the text was something like this. Pray for me because I don't think I'm going to make it. I'm just about want to quit. And you know what I got back? Okay. Okay. Church, I'm telling you something. Pain hurts. It's real. If you ain't never dealt with depression, you ought to get on your knees up at this altar and thank your God that you ain't had to battle that mess. I'm not like Verdell. I don't know nothing about drugs. I can't relate to that. But I know what depression is. I know what loneliness is. I know what it feels like to feel like don't nobody care no more. I understand all that, and it hurts. Life throwed me a curveball that I wasn't ready for. I swung and I struck out. And I went on and I kept battling and I kept battling, but I kept quitting. I couldn't get nowhere. I got to the point, and I want you to understand what I'm saying. Understand, please listen to what I'm about to say. I got to the point where I went to a preacher friend of mine and I prayed. I told him, I said, pray for me. Help me to pray that God will take me home. I wasn't suicidal. No, sir. I've been there. As a teenager, I dealt with that. I wasn't suicidal, but I was tired. I was hurting. And then it seemed like nobody cared. And I'm not even going to tell you how that man prayed for me. I walked away just as miserable. I shouldn't have never said nothing. So I understand why Peter said he quit. Life wasn't what he thought it would be. Have you ever been to that place? I'm telling you, there's people sitting in the congregation and sitting in the world all over that they're dealing with stuff that you don't even know about. And we got these two types of Christians walking around the world. I went to a church for a little while that I really liked. I thought it was a wonderful place in the beginning, and I'm not talking about the church because they do a great work. They were getting people saved just about every Sunday, and about once a month they was baptizing folks. I ain't never seen a church just bust loose at the seams like that in my life, and I was enjoying it. But at the same time, I felt like I was dying inside. I can't explain it. It was something missing. Then one Sunday there, I was sitting there talking to the preacher, and I asked him, I said, well, how's your week been, Pastor? He said, man, I'm going to tell you what, the devil's been whooping the hide off of me all week long. He's been riding me like a scalded dog. I'm fed up. And I realized right then, I'm in the wrong house. Because that shepherd ain't got nothing. So I left. But then you go to some places that they act like, you know, being a Christian is just so easy. That it's just a bed of roses. Everything's just hunky-dory. And Lord, if you tell somebody you're struggling, well, you must be lost. If you tell somebody you're having a hard time, well, you need your dose of the Holy Ghost. Church, I had the Holy Ghost. I might not have walked in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. He might not have been operating in my life like he should have been, but I experienced the Holy Ghost. But you see, we are in the greatest fight of our life that we ever have been in before. Everybody wants to get on this, and I'm going to mention it, but I really ain't taking sides, but I... So y'all understand, the fight's over all these statues, the flags. Everybody's got their opinion, that's fine. I'm not studying that. That ain't the fight. The fight is between good and evil. There's where your fight is. And if you don't realize something, what this world is, it's not all the Democrats, and it's not the Black Lives Matter, it's not the White Lives Matter, it's not the Blue Lives Matter, it's the good versus the evil. And if the good don't stand up and do something, the evil's going to take over. If we don't get up and begin to fight, we're going to lose our kids. We're going to lose a whole generation. Peter said, I quit. I understand what Peter was saying. During that time of my life, these last 4 years, I can't tell you how many dreams I gived up on. But it's funny because I want you to understand something. When you say you quit, it doesn't necessarily mean you say you quit living for God. Years ago, Teresa got the revelation of being debt free. I didn't get it. But because she got it and I ran with it on her faith, we became debt free way before we were supposed to. Way before. Paid a house off. Debt totally free. When I went through the divorce, I done some stupid stuff. I spent money like stupid, bought stupid stuff, didn't manage my money right, and guess what happened? I got right back in debt. But I remember what happened. That part I didn't give up on. I done what Diane Jackson told me to do. I kept bringing tithes and offerings. I kept bringing tithes and offerings. I kept believing God. At the same time, I was hurting inside. I felt like I was dying inside. But on that side, I'm debt free once again. I don't owe nobody nothing. But what have you give up on? God has really convicted me this week about my son. Because I'd gotten to the point, y'all know, I haven't spoke to the boy in 4 years now, over four. Won't accept a call. Won't answer a text. And I got to the point where I didn't want nobody. Diane Jackson would tell me, I'm praying for you and your son. I'd be thinking in my mind, Diane, would you shut up? That's just what I'd be thinking. I'm tired of hearing it because I gave up on it. I heard that, Diane. And I'm thankful. Because God convicted me of that just this week. Don't give up on your dreams. You got to fight for your dreams. What does the Bible say? 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. If we don't have to fight, why did he put that in there? As a Christian, we sing that song, a warrior. Why are we singing a song about a warrior? And we ain't going to fight. You're going to have to learn how to fight. And the people need to see you fight. If you have fought a battle in your life, you need to start sharing your testimony, whatever it was. You think I want to get up here and talk about a divorce tonight? Ain't no way. That's personal to me. You can ask Dana and Diane both. I'm very personal. They aggravate me. I'm antisociable. This social distancing didn't bother me one bit. I'm good at it because I'm very personal. I don't share my stuff. But church, I'm telling you, it's time that we let out what God has done for us. Quit being ashamed of your victory. If you got victory in your life, you need to share your victory. If God has delivered you about something, you need to share that because somebody needs to hear it. Somebody needs to know that God can do it. The world needs to see the church fight. We need to fight. Some battles in my life, I won. They were easy. Some battles. I'm surprised Dana Thompson has not blocked my phone number yet. Because I text her sometimes. Dana, I'm struggling. I can't tell you why. I'm just having a bad day. There's days at work that I would go through depression so bad, I would have to drive away from my employees because, Lynn, I'm a man. Men don't cry. So I would go hide because I didn't want nobody to see me cry. That's a lie from the devil. Men do cry. Jesus Christ cried himself. He cried. You gonna follow him? You can cry too. But we need to learn how to fight. It is not always going to be easy. So many times in a fight, you just want to give up. You want to get tired and stuff. But you know, I kept struggling. I kept going. And what God was doing in my life, I didn't even realize. You know, God will set you up. I got where I thought I was gaining a lot of weight. So, you know, I like to eat. And I didn't see myself quit eating. So I guess what I need to do is start exercising. Now, when I say exercise, this boy ain't going to get out there and run. If y'all see me running down the road, y'all better get in the car and take it out because something's chasing. I ain't running. But I would get out there and walk. And I would pray. Judy, I would pray at the house, and people would say, "Just you don't know how to pray, just say Jesus." Judy, that wasn't working for me. I would get some relief, but everything would just come crashing back in. It was like I couldn't get rid of this thing. And I would get out there in the morning time, you know, at 4:30 in the morning, it's dark. And I'm telling you, when you're walking down the road and it is pitch dark and you stick your hand out in front of you and you can't see your hand because it's that dark and you smell a skunk, and you don't know if you're supposed to run forward, backwards, be still. You just know that dude's out there somewhere. And I'm pretty sure he's of the devil, so he ain't on my side. But I get to walking down through there, and I begin to learn how to pray in ways I never prayed before. Danny and Betty, y'all got to be the blessed folks, because between you and Pat Williams, I can't even get past that end of the road that God puts it on my heart. But it wasn't helping me none. Didn't seem to be. But I kept going. And I remember one morning I got out there and I started going, and I was really having a bad day. And I didn't feel like praying. But I began to hear something in my spirit that began to say, "He's an awesome God. He's a forever God. He's a loving God." And as I kept walking, that stuff, Lynn, wasn't nothing coming out of my mouth. Nothing. And to this day, I don't understand where the words came from. But as I began to walk, I began to raise hands. Now, them folks out there already think I'm crazy. And they already trying to figure out how come I got a divorce. And if they see me at 4:30 in the morning walking down the roads doing like this right here, they're probably going to say, "Well, we know he's a nut." But I learned how to praise God in a way that I've never had before. And as I began to praise God, I began to realize there was peace coming that I'd never felt before. And I want to go back to this because we're going to run out of time, but I'm going to try to hurry up. But when Peter, they caught the fish, you know, Jesus came up and Jesus asked, you got any fish? You got any meat? And they said, no. And he said, cast it over on the other side. So they cast it over on the other side. What did they get? A big old net of fish. And what did John do? Now, this is the way I like to look at it. John began to think, wait, this is deja vu. I've been here before. I remember going fishing before. I remember fishing on the left side and not catching nothing. And I remember Jesus saying, throw it on the right side. We just throwed it on the right side. Wait. That voice. I know that voice. You see, his sheep know his voice. His sheep will follow his voice because they know that voice. People that tell me, I don't know if that's a devil speaking or God speaking, you better check your salvation. Because if you save, you're going to know the voice of God. And you're going to learn to recognize the voice of Satan. But on that day, John got the revelation. And I want to ask you something. Why did John get the revelation? This story is about Peter. Judy, why didn't Peter get the revelation? He's the one that this whole story is about. But Peter didn't get no revelation. John got the revelation. Why did John get the revelation? I want you to think about the two men for just a minute. Peter, what was he? You can almost say he was a troublemaker, but we're not. Peter was a fighter. He was a warrior. You think about it. When they come to get Jesus, I've never seen this. I started studying it. Peter carried a knife with him, a sword with him. Peter whooped out the sword and cut off the high priest's ear. He was a fighter. You can say he's a man of faith, but he's a warrior. What was John? A worshiper. You can almost say a lover. Where did he lay his head? On Jesus. He was a worshiper. Two different men, two different personalities. Which personality got the revelation? The worshiper got the revelation. You want revelation from God. You want understanding from God. You want to know God in ways you never understood Him before. Begin to worship God. Amen. Begin to lift your hands or whatever it is. And I shouldn't have said it like that because lifting your hands ain't got nothing to do with worship. That's a form. But however you worship. You would think I could worship God in this sanctuary. But I can worship God walking down Leotis Road at 4:30 in the morning, pitch dark with the skunks. That's my time of worship. That's my time when God begins to reveal stuff to me. And when you begin to reveal stuff, you begin to worship God. He begins to reveal stuff to you. He'll reveal stuff to you like this. David, I love you. I love you, son. I know you're struggling, but I'm your strength. You're not going to go under because I got you in the palm of my hand. Just this morning, I was walking down the road and I was just thinking about all this that's going on. And God just, when I say God spoke, it's more like I hear it in my spirit. I begin to get a revelation. I just want to share it with you because I think it's so awesome. It's got really nothing to do with this sermon. But I was walking down the road and I don't even know why it come up. But it's like God asked me, he said, do you know why I turned my face on my sons on Calvary? Well, see, I've been taught all my life that he turned his face. When Jesus said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? God turned his face from him. And I've been taught all my life he'd done that because that's the moment that Jesus took the sin of the world. And God couldn't look on the sin. He couldn't be in vicinity of sin. Had he not turned his back on him, Jesus probably couldn't exist because he would explode because of sin, because sin can't be in God's presence. That's why when you get out here and you mess up during the week, you have a hard time coming back to God because you've got to battle that flesh, that sin, man. You've got to crucify him again to get back in fellowship with God. You've got to repent. And this is what God told me. He said, I turned my back on my son. So my son would understand what it's like to be lonely, to feel nobody loves him, so that he can minister to you, David Herbert. That is so awesome. You see, everybody in this room, you've been through stuff. You've been through stuff that ain't nobody else been through. I can't minister to everybody. But what Lynn's been through, what he has fought and he's battled out, he can minister to that person because he understands that. Why does those two people I went to and asked for prayer, one only give me the other okay, and I'm not even going to tell you what the other said. Why could they not minister to me? They ain't been where I've been. They don't understand that kind of pain. They didn't know how to respond to that. In this day, I stand before you and I tell you, I'm thankful they didn't know how. Because they didn't know how, I kept searching, I kept looking, and I met God in a way I've never met Him before. I learned how to worship God like I never worshiped Him before. But on this day, John got to Revelation. And when he got to Revelation, he turned to Peter. Boy, Peter just cracks me up. Now, Larry, you do a lot of fishing. I'm not going to ask. I'm just going to say, I hope you don't fish naked. All right, this. Leah. That's why I ride horses, Larry. I ain't got to worry about no naked fishermen. But that's always bothered me, even when I first started going to church when I was a heathen. They would preach this and nobody would ever talk about it. But Peter's naked. What is this man doing out there naked? And my mind can go a lot of places with that because you see all these pictures with these treble hooks in people's hands and stuff, and this man's naked. Anyway. So, here John is, and Peter ain't got a clue who that was. All he was, he went after fish, and guess what he's got? He's got fish. And John gets the revelation. And John turns to Peter and says, Peter, that's Jesus. And what does Peter do? He jumps over and gets his coat, and he girts himself up with that coat, and he just jumps in the water. Who in their right mind goes swimming with the clothes on, a big coat on, a shoes on? Peter is something else, but he's my hero. So why was Peter naked? Blaine Bowman taught me this. When you start studying the Bible, quit thinking physical and start thinking spiritual. Think about Peter. Peter had been called by God to be a fisherman of men. God clothed him with that anointing. The day that Peter said, I quit, my terms, I'm going fishing, but y'all don't like my terms, Peter pulled that off. You see, God will never, and I had a hard time with this, God will never reverse His call on your life. Never. But I had a hard time with that. Because as soon as I got a divorce, I had people that I hadn't talked to in years. Well, we hate you got a divorce. You was an awesome preacher, but I guess you're done now. That didn't help me none because I was already having a problem with preaching. How can I get up behind a pulpit? How can I preach the gospel and I have screwed my life up? That's the way I felt. That's the battle that I was battling. When Suzanne asked me to speak those couple times in Sunday school, y'all don't understand how hard that was. I felt so unqualified because I quit. I took it off. Just like Peter did on that day, he got naked. He took that covering off. I'm done with it. And he wanted to go back to his old lifestyle, so he went out. You say, well, he's naked. Yeah. Because I'm going to tell you something, church, you can't go back. That life that you had before, you won't fit there now. You won't go back. You will not be able to go back. So he was fishing naked, Lynn, spiritually. Physically too, I guess, but I'm trying to get away from that picture. Well, let me ask you another question. When he found out that was Jesus standing on the shore, why didn't he put his clothes on? Don't say he did. He put a coat on. I mean, come on now. If you come to my house and I just got out of shower, you're knocking on the door, I'm not going to put a coat on, I'm going to put some clothes on. He has some clothes. He didn't run around all the time dying naked. The clothes were somewhere. But he didn't put his clothes on. He put a coat on. What does that mean spiritually? Think about a fisherman's coat. It had a hood, and it went all the way to his feet. I told you in the beginning, I don't think Peter was 100% sold out. But when he put that coat on, he was clothed, spiritually covered. He accepted the call 100%, sold out from God. I'm on board. And he jumps out. Now here's the most amazing thing. I titled this message, Do Not Quit, It's Only a Test. Because ask you another question. I like asking questions. Y'all don't know the answer. If you do, don't say it. You mess up my whole sermon. If God knows everything, and he does, don't he, Lynn? He knows. Well, he knew Peter was going to do all this, right? He knew Peter was going to be fishing naked. I don't know how God dealt with that. He's probably laughing pretty hard. But anyway, he knew that. He knew that Peter was going to put that coat on. He was going to sell out 100% for him. Why did he make him go through all that? You see, some of the things that you go through, it's a test. God's testing you to see if you'll stay faithful to your call. Because I want you to think about something. What did Peter go after that morning? When he got on that boat, what did he say he was going to go do? I'm going to fish. Why did God, if God wouldn't test him, if God wouldn't give him a test, Danny Owens, why did he let that net get full of fish? If God is so determined he's going to make you do the call, why did he let him catch any fish? He should have let him go bankrupt. But he didn't. He caught a great number of fish. 153, Lynn. I don't know why they said 153, but it was 153 fish in that nest. I guess when Peter went down and pulled that thing to the bank, one, two, I don't know how they know it was 153, but they said 153. Y'all remember that verse of scripture that Brother Jimmy keeps preaching on? What is it, Proverbs? Let me find it. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord maketh you rich, and he added no sorrow. Peter had a decision to make. Church, I'm telling you tonight, you got a decision to make. I got a decision to make. You can go fishing. God will let you go fishing. He'll let you go do whatever you want to do. And he'll let you toll to get what you want, because Peter went and got what he wanted. God helped him out. Freddie had a whole thing full of fish. But when he got to the bank, what did Jesus have? He said there was a fire, and there was fish, and there was bread. He had what Peter went after, Jesus already got. What's the difference? Well, my thing would be, them fish have done been gutted and cleaned. Larry Taggart, they fried up, they ready to eat. These you got to work at. There's some toil over here. That thing you toiling for, that thing you trying to get in your life, that peace that I was hunting, that joy that I was hunting, God had it all along. But he let me go through the struggle of finding it because he wanted me ready to find him. And when I found him, guess what I found? What I was looking for. You see, it was a test. Do you really want him? Do you really want to serve me? Do you really want to preach the gospel? Do you really want to? Well, I'm going to let you struggle a little while. You see, a lot of people, they're scared of talking like this because people want to twist it and turn it and say, well, God put sickness on you to teach you something. No, but God will test you because he says, test him. Does he not, Diane, in Malachi? Test me not, see if I won't give. You give, I open the windows. God gets tested. He tells you to test him. He's going to test you from time to time. So Peter put that coat on, and he was clothed from the top to the bottom. He accepted that call. And if you read the scriptures from that day forward, Peter went on to the upper room, he got full of the Holy Ghost, and he became what? A mighty man of God. A fighter for God. He spent the rest of his life, he never turned back again, because on that day, he learned how to fight. Church, I'm going to tell you something. If we don't learn how to fight, some of our kids and our grandkids are not going to make it in this world. When you get to heaven, I'm going to be real with you. When you get to heaven, do y'all want to get up there and see your grandkids? Yes. I do. You better learn how to fight. You better learn how to grab hold of some faith and take hold of eternal life. I don't care if your grandkid ain't but a year and a half old, don't even know nothing about God yet, can't even say Jesus yet. You better be fighting for that kid. Yeah. Because the devil's already got weapons forming against him. You see, we give up too much. We let loose too much. We have got to learn to fight. We have got to get a hold to the gospel of God. We got to get this gospel down inside us and quit playing patty cake with it and begin to fight with it. There is a war to be won. And if you don't learn how to fight, you're going to lose the war yourself. Because that's one thing through all this that God showed me. Lynn can love me all he wants to. Jimmy Repay, right back there, that man had blessed me so many times when I went through that divorce. Jimmy Repay would come to the house as soon as I got off work. Get in this truck, you're going. Jimmy, I ain't going. Get in the truck. That dude would keep me out to 1 o'clock in the morning knowing I got to go to work the next day. But you know what? When it come down to it, Jimmy couldn't win the war for me. He could help me, but he couldn't win the war. We are waiting on Brother Jimmy to win the war. He can only lead you. He can only lead the congregation. But when that congregation turns out and runs out the door because they're tired of the fight, it ain't going to be his fault because he's put the word in you. He's laid it out here for you to get a hold to it. We as the body of Christ, we as moms and dads have got to learn to fight. I'm telling you something, church. I am tired of seeing some of our church members that were so faithful. That were so faithful. They ain't here no more. Who's fighting for them? We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Oh, we'll bring them up every now and then. But when have we went and visited them? When have you texted them? When have you called them? What are we going to do? Just let them fall by the wayside? I'm not. I am determined. I'm fixing to fight for what I believe in. And I believe in my brothers and sisters that were here once that are not here anymore. I'm not going to let them fall. I had a man come to me that used to come to this church. Right back here one Sunday morning out of the blue. He told me, he said, I'm going to pray for you for the rest of my life if it takes that long. Until you get desires of your heart. He knows what my desires are. And I believe him. But he's not here now. Well, if I believe him, shouldn't I be fighting for him? Or am I just going to let him go? We've got to fight. We've got to learn to praise God and get revelation of Jesus Christ, who he really is. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get revelation of who he really is, the fight really ain't that hard. If I would have known 3.5 years ago that if I would learn how to praise God, I wouldn't have to suffer with depression. I would have learned to praise God a long time ago. Dana says, amen, I wish you had her. But we've got to. We've got to get back to what the gospel really was. We've got to get back to hungry for the gospel. Hungry for souls. It breaks my heart when I think about it. I used to tell people in prison, this is one of the ways I used to minister in prison, because those a lot of men in prison, what they really wanted, they knew they had to do their time. They were fine with it. They had done got born again. They understood the system. They knew they had to do it. But what broke their heart was the possibility of their son following right in their footprints. And I used to pray for those guys' sons. And I had a motive behind it because you reap what you sow. Nobody's got to raise their hands, but I doubt there's a person in this room that don't have a child, a grandchild, some of y'all really old, got great-grandchilds, that you're not a little concerned about. Well, you know how the best way to make sure that child gets there? Sow seeds into other childs. Because when you sow seeds in some other child, guess what you're going to reap? Your child. Are y'all ready to fight? Or are you going to quit? I'm not quitting. For the first time in my life, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't think I could do this tonight. I really didn't. I have battled emotions so bad. Depression so bad. But something happened to me out there on that Leotis Road when I learned to worship God. He took all that stuff. And he set me free. I'm free. I had somebody to... Last night I was texting somebody and I really was hoping she'd be here tonight. Some of y'all probably would have been like, oh my God, they're going to start a war. It was my ex-sister-in-law. I don't even really know what to call her right now. So she was, I guess, ex. I don't know, friend. But we talked. And that was amazing to me. We've been talking for 3 or 4 weeks. I ain't talked to her in 3 or 4 years. God's peace. God's joy. God's strength. I'm telling you, God has done some amazing things. Can y'all believe I'm actually talking to my ex-wife? Not in a relationship. Don't even go there. But we talking. Can you imagine that? All because, I believe it's all because I learned to praise God. And God's given me revelation that worldly stuff does not matter. What matters is kingdom stuff. And if you get to enjoy the worldly stuff, and I'm not talking about sin stuff, the things of the world, riding horses and stuff like that, if you get to enjoy that along the way, well, good for you. That's a blessing. But I'm telling you something, God has got some stuff in store for us. That one verse, Proverbs, how does it go? Somebody help me out because this went blank. The blessing of the Lord maketh you rich, and he adds no sorrow, no toil. When Brother Jimmy's talked that night, no toil, no work, no labor, and you can't even work to make it increase. Because why? Because when God gives it to you, it ain't no increase because he gives you the whole thing. This is the best it's going to get. That went off in me, and I began to realize something. Serving God, it may not be easy. You're going to have to fight. But it's the best thing I ever done. And I'm just going to stop there because I won't never quit. Somebody told me to don't try to catch up all my sermons over 4 years in one night. And somebody said go as long as I wanted to, but I figured y'all might get mad at Dana if I'd done that. Y'all got the prayer requests? Bring them down. These are laying in Brother Jimmy's office. I don't know how long I've been back here, but I'm pretty sure they don't care if we pray for them again. Nope.
Greg Hearn. Those of you that don't know Greg Hearn, pastor, still in Troy.
Yeah, Troy first.
Troy.
I did.
Y'all ready? Father, we just come to you this night, and Father, I just thank you, Lord God. I thank you for this opportunity you've given me. But Father, I thank you for every name that's on this list, Lord God, because they're precious in your sight, Lord God. These are people, Lord God, that you love, Lord God, and you have desires for, Lord God, for them to prosper, to be in health. Lord God, they go through life and have abundant life, Lord God. Not to get by life, but abundance, Lord God. And Father God, they need the help, Lord God. They need a touch from you, Lord God, whether it's in their finances, Lord God, in their health, Lord God, whether it's in the peace of mind, Lord God, whether it's in salvation, whatever it is, Lord God, they need you, Lord God, because you are the ultimate source, Lord God. Father God, we lift them up to you, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, that you're going to touch and meet every need. And Father, I lift up Brother Jimmy and Miss Ann to you, Lord God. And I ask you to bless them with abundance, Lord God.
Yes.
Father God, it's during these days of vacation, Lord God, they enjoy their grandkids, Lord God. Father God, they get supernatural favor, Lord God. And they get peace, Lord God. Peace for their very being, Lord God. Their body be rested, Lord God. And just joy overflowing, Lord God. And just abundance, Lord God. Rain down upon them, Lord God. Blessings, Lord God. Blessings on top of blessings, Lord God. Father God, let joy and peace and happiness, Lord God, flow through them, Lord God. I pray that the Spirit of God will cover them, Lord God, like never before, Lord God, with protection, Lord God, and with abundance, Lord God. Father God, we thank you for them, Lord God. And Father, I thank you for everyone that's here tonight, Lord God. And I pray that you bless them, Lord God. Meet every need in this house, Lord God. Touch every family, Lord God. And Father God, we lift up, Lord God, all our children and our grandchildren, Lord God. Those that don't know you, Lord God, that's running from you, Lord God. We ask you, Lord God, to send people to them, Lord God, that will minister to them, Lord God. Lord God, I pray for our little kids, Lord God, that we may think they're not even of the age, Lord God, but I ask the angels begin to minister to them, Lord God. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for the people that once come here, Lord God. Father God, I declare tonight, Lord God, some that's on my heart, Lord God, I tell you, devil, I'm not going to let you have them, Lord. I'm not going to let you have them. I'm holding on to them. And Father God, I pray, Lord God, that you can cause each one of us, Lord God, to fight for these people, Lord God, to get it down in our spirit, Lord God, that we're going to win the war, Lord God. We're going to go to battle. We're going to fight for these souls, Lord God, because that's all that really matters, Lord God, in this world, Lord God. It's the souls of your people, Lord God. Father, I truly believe, Lord God, that we are in the last days, Lord God. And you told us in your word, Lord God, in the last days, you're going to pour out your spirit, Lord God, upon all flesh, Lord God. Father God, we all flesh, Lord God. We live in this fleshly body, Lord God, and we're in the last days, Lord God. I ask you to pour out your spirit upon us, Lord God. Cover us, Lord God, with your anointing, Lord God, with your spirit, Lord God. And help us to go forth, Lord God, and give us a sense of victory, Lord God, as we walk, Lord God. Father God, if there's anyone here tonight, Lord God, that's been battling stuff like I have, I lift them up to you, Lord God. And Lord God, I pray that you give them great peace, Lord God. Let them meditate upon what I shared, Lord God. Let them see, Lord God, that if they'll fight, Lord God, if they'll turn to you, Lord God, and they'll worship you, Lord God, and they'll call upon you, Lord God, you will set them free in ways they've never understood before, Lord God. They won't even understand it now, but they'll just know that they're free, that the joy of the Lord will be their strength, and they'll overflow in happiness, Lord God. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.